Now, Father, thank you for your word. As we take hold of your Bible, we are to be conscious that these are sacred scriptures, penned by you yourself through your Spirit. And we are so grateful for all of them. Even tonight, as we look at Ecclesiastes, it's quite a unique book. But right here, Lord, we thank you for Romans, this book that stands after the historical accounts of Jesus and the church. We have this most amazing teaching book. We thank you so much for it. But Lord, no matter how good it is, we pray on our behalf that we would be able to hear and listen to what you're saying to us through it and to live it out. It is of no benefit, Lord, if we know your word and don't live it out. Help us to be those who are teachable and humble and are allowing our life to be transformed by your truth. So just ask that you'd help us today in the things that we'll look at. We pray this in your son's name. Amen. Well, over the last few weeks, as you know, Colin and I have been away. And when you do that sort of trip, there's a lot of kilometres that you do. You can just imagine going up to Uluru, Alice Springs, then down through Cooper Pedy to Adelaide, and then across the Heather Bike. So many wonderful things to behold and to see. And I noticed on the car when we got home, we had done just under 9,000 kilometres. What do you reckon? That's a fair few kilometres. So for most of that time driving along, let me tell you that I had fantastic time thinking and praying and listening to lovely Christian music. And Colleen, well she was sleeping. She's got the Poulter genes. Maybe Marlene's the same. And so that means the motion of the car puts them to sleep. But hang on. Colin's got an amazing gift. Normally this is what happens as we go along. For the first 10 minutes or so, she's talking to me. Good stuff, talking to me. Then she falls asleep. And then an hour or so later, she wakes up and starts off where she left from, you know? Like, is that a gift? I nearly go off the road every time. I go, what? But as for me, as I drive along, fortunately, I've got the genetics where I can stay awake for a fair time. And in fact, driving stimulates me. And I love looking around. And of course, I've got to look around for danger, especially if you're traveling at night, with kangaroos around. And not only that, I am looking forward to arriving at our destination. So all these things keep me awake. And as I think about these things, I can't help but see that's like a picture of how we are meant to be as Christians. We're not meant to be sleeping. We're meant to be awake. We're meant to be looking around, observing the world we live in. We're meant to be aware of dangers about us. And above all, we're meant to be awake because we're looking forward to our destination, which is not like a physical place. It's heaven. And we ought to be awake. And when I look at Romans 13, I can't help but see the Apostle Paul challenging us to be awake. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 13. And in the verse 11, it tells us these words. Romans 13, verse 11. Do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep or from slumber. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. So Paul really challenges us to be awake. And why he says that is because he knows, as we ought to know too, so many of us are asleep. We are slumbering spiritually. We might be physically awake, I hope you are this morning, but you are meant to be spiritually awake. We're meant to be awake and alive in the light of our eternal destiny. We're heading to heaven. We're going one day to be in that glorious place. Not only that, but we are meant to be living a life that's full of life. We're meant to be fully awake because we're indebted to God. We're meant to be living for Him in the light of His great grace and mercy that He has shown us through His Son. And we're meant to be caught up with the kingdom of Christ and wanting to live a life for the glory of God. Paul calls us to be awake, not like a sleepy person who's doing nothing, wasting their life. And you know, many Christians can be like that. What I mean by that is that spiritually, we are unproductive and unfruitful like a sleepy person. And Paul calls us to be awake. And what great reasons he gives us to be awake. At the end of verse 11 he says, "For now salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed." We've already done enough sleeping spiritually. We're so much closer to going home to be with the Lord or when the Lord comes back. We ought to be so much more awake. And really verse 12, the part of verse 12 is touching on that. The night is almost gone. The day is near. That is the day when we see Jesus return or when we go home to be with him. These things should fire us up to be awake. So let me ask you this morning, in God's eyes, are you awake or asleep? It's an important question to ask. How do we fall asleep? Pretty much, we fall asleep spiritually when we are living our life according to the philosophies of this world. We end up becoming spiritually of no value to God. When we are living for the things of this world, that's how easy it is to be spiritually asleep. We allow the world to put us to sleep spiritually. In order to be alive spiritually, we need to be in the light and walking in the light every day so that we might glorify God and live for Christ's kingdom. Oh, that we might be awake and alert, all of us. And then we might do our best to encourage each other in these things. We're not to condemn, we're to encourage each other so that we might all be awake and alert until the coming of Jesus. Now this morning, as we continue our sermon series in Romans, as you remember, we're up to Romans chapter 13. Not only do we have this charge to be awake, but in this chapter we're going to see what it looks like to be awake. Remember the leading words of Romans 13 verse 11 says, "Do this knowing the time." Do this what? We're going to look at that. Romans 13 tells us what it looks like to be alive spiritually. Three things we're going to look at: living lawfully, living lovingly, and living in light. That's how we are to be. Well, let's look at that first point, living lawfully. And that's found in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 7. Now, what did you think of that section? The Apostle Paul talks about how we are to be living lawfully under governing authorities, submitting to their rule and honouring them. Wow, what's that doing in the Bible? For often, as in Paul's time and also in our own time, we so often have governing authorities that do not honour God, that do not uphold the Christian faith, and even formulate laws against our own book, don't they? We live in times like that. And the attitude so easily, like in Paul's day, the attitude so easily could be, well, let's just rubbish our governments. Let's just rebel against them and do what we want because we're under Christ. And many Christians sort of live like that. But the Apostle Paul tells us in this section that we are not to be like that. We're not to justify bad behaviour towards governing authorities. We are to honour and respect them. We are to even pay our taxes. How about that, eh? Wow. It's all here in the Bible. So, and why are we to do that? I think the first two verses of Romans 13 are very clear. Let me read to you verses 1 and 2 of Romans 13. "Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those which exist are established by God." Wow. "Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves." That's an amazing declaration. You see, one of the great things about God is a God of order. And he has set up governing authorities on earth that we are meant to honour. Now, of course, everyone's probably got the question, but what about when the governing authorities have a law that opposes God's law? Well, what do you reckon you do? Of course you obey God's law first. And we've got lots of examples of that in the Bible, especially out of the book of Daniel. You know, Daniel, he gets told, don't pray, a law against praying. What did Daniel do straight away? He prayed. because God's law is above human law. Or think of Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, they didn't bow their knee when pressured by the governing authorities. They stood their ground, even though they faced being thrown into the fiery furnace, which actually did happen, and God still rescued them. Or think of the apostles. The religious governing authorities told them and commanded them again and again, do not speak in the name of Jesus. But they did. And you remember their answer to the authorities? They said, we must obey God rather than men. But every other situation where we can, whenever and wherever it might be, we are meant to be submitting to governing authorities unless, and it doesn't happen that often really, unless it opposes God's rule. This is pleasing to God. You've got to get that in your head. It's pleasing to God that you live like that. We are meant to be, Christians are meant to be the most law-abiding citizens of all. So let's just be practical about this. What do you like on the road? Oh no, don't bring that up. We are not meant to be speeding. We're not meant to be breaking the laws of on the road. We're meant to be obeying them. Why? Because it's pleasing to God. You know, I remember when fishtails were, you know, really familiar, you know, the sign, the Christian sticker. And so often, you know, you go, oh no, there goes one, speeding, saying they're a Christian, oh no, it's not a good witness. We're meant to be obeying every law we can. We're meant to be paying our taxes. We're not meant to be like the rest trying to find loopholes to get out of paying taxes. We're meant to be paying our taxes fairly. We're not meant to be caught up in that stuff out there, you know, gossiping and slandering the government, saying bad things about the government. Let me throw my two bobs worth in. No, we're meant to be actually not just honouring them, but other parts of the New Testament tell us that we need to be, oh no, no way. Yes, is it? To pray for our governments. Let me read 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Pray for kings and all who are in authority so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Wow. I reckon there's a fair bit of work we've got to do on this area. What do you think? May we take on board what it says here in Romans 13. Let me pick out some things there. Look at verse 4. Governing authorities are a minister of God. Verse 6. Governing authorities, rulers are servants of God. Wow, we need to have a right attitude toward them. It is pleasing to God. And as an encouragement, let me tell you that we do not live in the times that the Apostle Paul did live in. He probably wrote Romans around 57 AD. Guess who was ruling at the time he wrote the book of Romans? In 54 AD, a notorious tyrant was ruling the Roman Empire. His name was Nero. And Nero had it in for Christians. He hated Jesus and he did everything he could to persecute Christians. In the end, he was involved in putting to death Paul and Peter, two significant apostles of the early church. But look what Paul writes. It's amazing, isn't it? He tells us that we are to be loyal and under the rule of governing authorities, except the only condition is when they oppose God. So may we be like that. This is what it means to be spiritually alive. Remembering what God has called us to be, even in our own society. Let us praise the Lord that in our culture still, we still have great laws that rule our land. I know there's some pretty horrible laws that have come about in recent time, but most of our laws still reflect our Christian heritage. Are you thankful for that? There's still good laws in our land. Let us uphold them unless they oppose God's law. Let's have a look now at verses 8 to 10. I want to read these ones out to you. Romans 13, 8 to 10. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbour has fulfilled the law. For this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law. So not only are we to be lawful, but we are to be a loving people. That is something that should dominate Christians. We're lawful, but we're loving as well. We love to keep the law, but we also love to love. We're meant to love our neighbor. We all should know who our neighbor is. Our neighbor is anyone around us. Might be work colleagues or sporting colleagues and our neighbor literally beside our house. We are meant to love. Love is meant to be oozing out of us. And why is that? Because we've come into the light. Our eyes have been opened and we know what God is like and we are meant to be like him, loving. What a declaration we have here in verse 10. Love is the fulfillment of the law. What a way Paul puts it here. Think about the law. Think about the Ten Commandments. In fact, when you think of the whole Ten Commandments, they are all kept if we do two things. Love God and love our neighbour. The second half is kept by loving our neighbour. The first half is kept when we love God. It's all about love. That's why Jesus was able to reduce the Ten Commandments to those two great commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. And love your neighbour as yourself. And you know, we need to get it in our head that it is love that it causes us to fulfil the law of God. And we ought to have a desire to fulfil the law of God now. Once when we were not Christians, we didn't have a desire to fulfil God's law, but we should now. Why should we? To get to heaven. That's the wrong answer. No, we are to fulfil the law of God because we now love God and we want to please him. I like to put it like this. We want to put a smile on his face because we want to keep his law. Just in case someone here doesn't get this, we are not saved by keeping the law. We are saved by faith in Jesus. We are saved by God's grace, what God has done for us through his son, and by believing in Jesus, trusting in him, that's how we're saved. And in Romans earlier on, it mentions that, doesn't it? Very strongly. You think of Romans chapter 3, it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus." What a great verse. Romans 3:28 goes on to say, "For we maintain that a person is justified," that means right with God, "by faith apart from works of the law." So it sounds from those verses that the law we should discard. But the end of that chapter, it says these words, "Do we then nullify the law through faith? No, may it never be. On the contrary, we uphold the law." Why? For salvation? No. Once we are saved, we have a new heart and the Spirit of God lives in us and we should have a desire to want to keep God's law. And what's the best way to keep God's law? Be a loving person. We need to be loving. I just love how the Bible speaks a lot about how we are to love. I think of the way Jesus taught us about love. He taught us that we are to turn the other cheek. We're to go the extra mile. We're to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Do you do that? That's what it means to love. He also showed us what it is to love. He showed us that to love somebody is to serve them. It's to give our life for others. It might not be like Jesus, obviously it won't be like his, but we are to sacrifice our life for others. This is what it means to love. The Apostle Paul taught us about love. What a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 and 5. We read, "Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. It doesn't brag. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. It's not selfish. It's not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered." That is to say, love is forgiving. We're meant to be awake. We're meant to be awake to the fact that our God is a God of extreme love. And we're his children now. And we're meant to be a people of love too. We need to learn how to do this much better. We're growing up in a society, the Bible tells us this would be the case, that will become cold. Cold. And I think we sometimes begin to be cold. We're meant to break off that coldness. We're meant to be people of warmth and love, loving as we've been commanded. And as you do that, you will fulfill God's law and please Him. Well, let's come to that last part now, which is Romans 13, 11 to 14. Now let me read to you again verses 11 and 12. Do this, knowing the time that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep, for now salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. The night is almost gone, and the day is near. Therefore let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. So we are to be lawful in the countries we live in. We are to be loving people. That's what it means when it says in verse 11, do this. And friends, we need to be motivated to do this because we do sense. We're meant to sense that it's time to arise and to be fully awake spiritually. I really believe the Lord's return is near, more near than we could ever comprehend. And we need to awaken ourselves from slumber. The world will try and put you into a spiritual sleep. You need to brush that off. You need to do everything you can to awaken yourselves. You need to remember that you've already probably done enough sleeping on the job and it's time to awaken yourselves. I've been in that category. You know, there's years that go by. Well, what are you doing? You're just doing nothing spiritually. It's time to awaken. How bad it's going to be if we remain in our slumber and we come into heaven and we've done nothing. How are you going to feel? How are you going to feel when you come before the Lord? We're meant to be filled with love. We're filled with doing good works that God might be glorified. I love the language here also in verses 11 to 14. It says there in the end of verse 12, therefore let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. We're to lay aside. It's a picture of clothing. We're to take off dirty rags. What do those dirty rags stand for? Doing bad stuff, following wrong desires, doing evil deeds. That's in verse 13, isn't it? Read verse 13 with me. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in, what language? Carousing, orgies, and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy. Our society is becoming full of that. We're not to go down that path. Those deeds we are to get rid of. Like dirty rags, we're to take them off. And what are we to put on instead? Clean clothes, which stand for living that is righteous and holy. What it says in verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. What it means by that is put on His character and nature. Be like Him. He didn't just die to save you. He also set you an example to follow. We're to be like Him. Put on Him. We're to be people who live for Jesus. In verse 12, at the end of verse 12, it describes our clothing as an armour of light. I love that. Think about armour. The picture there is glittering armour. The new clothes that we wear now are not just rags that wear out. This armour, strong, lasts forever, and it's to be glittering armour, highly polished armour. That's what it will look like when we take on board Jesus and live for Him, living a righteous and holy life. I think of the Lord Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, it says of Him that He is the radiance of the Father's glory and the exact representation of His nature. What a verse. What a description of Jesus. But I wonder if we understand that we are called to also reflect. Reflect and radiate who God is. That's how we're meant to be. This is what it means to be alert and awake in the Lord, rather than asleep. I just want to finish with a few great verses in the New Testament that highlight how we are to be. Because we are children of light, and because we've come into the light, we are to be people of light, with an armour of light shining from us as we take on Jesus and live for Him. It was Jesus who said in Matthew 5:16, let your light Shine before people in such a way that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. He calls us his lights, and we are to shine him. Philippians chapter 2, 15 and 16. It says, prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world as you hold on to the word of life. Got to hold on to the word of life. And as we do, we'll appear as lights in the world. And the final reference I want to read to you is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 5 to 8. It says, you are all sons and daughters of light and sons and daughters of day. We're not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk get drunk at night. But since we're of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. I pray that God will help you live out those words. May they not just be nice words, but may we know the reality of those words in our life, so that we might be awake, spiritually awake, making the most of our time here on earth. And actually, I do want to finish with one last verse, which is the verse 14 of the chapter we've been looking at this morning, Romans 13. What a great verse this one is to finish with. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. It's out to get you. Our sinful nature, the ways of the world, you've got to make no provision for it. Do everything you can to cut that out so that you might live lives pleasing to God. May we do that. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for what you've done for us. It's just overwhelming. And we pray that you would help us to be really good at encouraging each other, to be living fruitful and productive lives, living as awake Christians, not asleep in the light, but awake in the light. Help us to be able to see things really well, the coming of Jesus so near, to see our world that is in such peril, to see what our purpose is. Help us to see and live it out, Lord. May you awaken us. Lord, if we have been sleeping in your eyes, would you please forgive us? What a horrible thing to be asleep in the light of all that you've done for us. Lord, please forgive us. May you have mercy upon us. May you awaken us, and may you awaken our little church here. We might be not comparing ourselves to others or just doing what we want, but really awake and alive, living a life pleasing to you together. Please would you help us in this. May we have the joy of seeing your glorious light come into the lives of other people, that they might be made alive too, that we might together be your children. We're so glad that we're children of the day now. What a privilege. We're children of light. Wow. How amazing it is what you've done for us. We thank you in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.